There we go, Sanctity of Human Life, Sunday, the 2023. I am so thankful that I lived long enough to see the realization of the fact that Roe v. Wade is not a constitutional right. However, we need to continue to be in prayer, my friends, because Minnesota just passed the most liberal abortion law in the United States of America, and there's great pressure in Wisconsin to undermine our abortion law, which protects life in large amount. And so we're going to see a division. We're going to see the liberal states be liberal in abortion, the conservative states be conservative in abortion. And abortion is still the murder of the helpless unborn. So the battle isn't over. That's all I'm saying. The battle is not over. We're going to be looking at the truth about abortion. And I really believe that abortion is a key moral issue of the day. But if abortion doesn't kill a human being, then there's no justification, and no justification for abortion is required. If it doesn't kill a human being, we don't need any justification. But the fact is, if we look at the Word of God, if abortion does kill a human being, no justification is adequate. The truth is, in the United States, history has proven that the most dangerous place for a baby to be is in a mother's womb in the United States of America. When you look at all the murders of other types, abortion has had far more. Here are the facts. 99% of all murders are abortions. When you look at that, 99%, okay? Historically, almost 4,000 innocent humans were killed in abortions every day, more than the total number in the 9/11 attack in one day. We have already killed more than twice the total killed by Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler. Women will continue to be damaged physically and psychologically by abortions. And there have been significant negative impacts to our society. I was just listening the other day. By 3035, the figure of Social Security will be bankrupt, and by 2035, and by if you look at this, by 2028, they say that Medicare is going to be belly up. But you know what the United States has done? They keep spending the money that was put in there and given IOUs, so they're telling you it's nearly broke, but that's because our congressional leaders have spent up all that money. But I can tell you, if the 60 million babies had been aborted, weren't aborted, guess what? They would be buying things, they would be paying into Social Security, and we wouldn't be in the horrible state that we are today. Hopefully, the overturn of Roe v. Wade cuts down the number of abortions. It has some in Wisconsin. But since January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court decision known as Roe v. Wade, about 65 million preborn children have been killed by abortion in the United States of America, if you can think of that. I did it in times past, but you look at that number and see how many states would be completely wiped out if you figure that. It is very sobering. It is a very sobering number. Abortion is a difficult topic that has touched nearly everybody's lives in one way or the other. Our challenge is to share the truth in love. We must be willing to risk hurt feelings, as the alternative have irreconcilable consequences that are literally a matter of life and death. A lot of people don't like hearing about abortion. They don't like it being called what it is. Please note, while abortion is sin, It is forgivable because Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. The good news is that there is forgiveness, hope, and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ if you've had the tragedy of the abortion. Now, what would you recommend? I want you to think about this. Now, what would you recommend? A preacher and his wife are living in tremendous poverty and have had 14 children, some of whom have died. Now she is pregnant with a 15th. What would you recommend? The father is ill and the mother has tuberculosis. They have 3 living children. One already died. One is blind. One is deaf. And one has TB. Then the mother finds she is pregnant again. A white man raped a 13-year-old black girl and she got pregnant. What would you recommend? A teenage girl is pregnant. She's not married. Unwed mothers face serious consequences in her culture. Her fiancé is not the father of the baby, and he's very upset. What would you recommend? Remember, abortion is murder. Okay? If an abortion occurred, a preacher and his wife living in tremendous poverty and have 14 children, some of whom have died, she is now pregnant with the 15th. John Wesley, a great evangelist and the founder of Methodism, would be dead. If abortion had occurred, the father is sick and the mother has tuberculosis. They have 3 living children. One died already. One is blind, one is deaf, and one has TB. Then the mother finds she's pregnant again. Ludwig von Beethoven would not have lived. If abortion had occurred, a white man raped a 13-year-old black girl and she got pregnant. I'm old enough to remember this lady. Ethel Waters, the gospel singer, would not have lived. Now this one. If abortion had occurred, a teenage girl is pregnant. She's not married. Unwed mothers face serious consequences in her culture. Her fiancé is not the father of the baby. He was very upset. Jesus would not have been born. You know, as we read in Psalm 127:3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Children are precious. Children are precious. I still remember it wasn't common back when my son Stephen Keith was born, but Dr. Westerhoff said that I could come in and see the baby being born. And I can tell you, through the pain of Linda, the labor pains, and I was in with her in labor pains, if I had not seen Stephen be born, we'd have had one kid. She was in such great pain. But Dr. Westerhoff let me come in, and he said, "Now, I want to tell you something. If you pass out, I'm just going to leave you laying on the floor because I'm going to attend to your wife." Well, he didn't realize I'd been and was at that time still a fireman and seen a lot of other things. And so I was so excited when Stephen was born. I just got to tell you this. And Dr. Westerhoff, he comes out, he's kind of got covered with some kind of yellowy stuff, and that helps make the baby slippery to come out and all that kind of stuff, and he gets some on his hand. He says, "That's the best hand lotion." And then he got some and put it on my hand. I still remember it to that day. But I saw Steve born, Carla born, Sarah being born, and I can tell you, children are precious. Children are precious. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I pulled this off of one of my Facebook friends' page. "I am not a potential human. I am a human with potential. I was created by God, fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, known by my Creator, loved, and destined for greatness. Well, that touched my heart when I read it. You know, there is a solid, a biblical basis for the sanctity of life. The biblical view, God is the author of life and is sovereign over life and death. The Bible says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." My mom just recently went home to be with the Lord. And it's up to Him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And even though it's a flawed image, human beings are created in the image of God. Not dogs, as nice as dogs are. Not cats. Oh, goodness, not cats. You know, some people like ferrets, not ferrets. Not rabbits, No. Humans are created in His image. Not even, not even angels are created in His image. And what a blessing that is when you take time to ponder that. Many Bible verses show pro-life positions, while none show a pro-abortion position. There is not a scripture verse that endorses the pro-death position at all. Women who have had abortions need forgiveness and healing. That's true. You know, in the early days of abortion, and I lived through those in the pro-life movement, and when Roe v. Wade in 73 was passed, you know, they told the ladies that they're just a blob of tissue. It's just a blob of tissue. There's nothing to worry about. It's just a blob of tissue. I'm so thankful, and I've told you this before, but when my mom graduated from high school, they got married in August. And I was born in January, and I could never figure it out. August, September, October, November, December, January. 9 months didn't fit into that. I'm awfully thankful that my mom and my dad wanted me. I'm so thankful. I look at how I got saved and how the Lord has used my life and the things that I've been able to do, and I am so thankful that my mom and my dad, they wanted me. And women who have had abortions, they need forgiveness and healing. You know, biblical themes. God is the author of life. We are human from the moment of conception. We'll get scriptures on this. Hang on. And we should protect the weak. All humans have equal value. Jesus can help us through difficult times. Lynn and I are testimony to that. So many of you are testimony of that. Some of you are going through those times right now. Peace and forgiveness are found in Jesus. And God has established His moral law. We must never forget that. God has established His moral laws. God's moral laws: don't steal, don't kill, one man for one woman. God's moral laws are just like gravity. You can deny that there's gravity. And one of the funniest illustrations I've used through the years is when I was growing up as a kid, I had one of those little parachute guys in a tube, and you'd blow on the tube and it would go up and it would float down so nicely. We had a big old barn, and I thought, man, I'm going to be like that parachute guy. So I went in and took one of my mom's clean sheets and gathered it all up and held on to it and jumped out of the hayloft. I was expecting to float down. I did not float down. How many of you have ever had the wind knocked out of you? Oh, man, I'm going, I thought I was going to die. Thankfully, I didn't break any bones, but I'll tell you what. God has His laws that He has established, and they're just like the laws of gravity, and they are to be followed. And one of those is the sanctity of human life. Those laws don't change. Violating them causes consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God created these laws for a reason. He knows how we're wired. If we don't operate as we were designed, like by killing the unborn children, there will be consequences spiritually, physically, and mentally. Think about what the Bible says. Let's look at some of the things that we see in God's Word. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. So, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Look at what He created them for. He created them for dominion. They have power. I was just talking with Ron. And in Texas, if you're hunting on private land, you don't even need a license to go boar hunting. I think I want to find some private land and go boar hunting in Texas. Because not only can you kill one, they're causing so much problems. They would like it if you kill six. And that would be an interesting hunt to me to go boar hunting. But why? Because we have dominion. I love pheasant hunting. I didn't do much this year, didn't do anything this year. I love duck hunting, been duck hunting. I was offered to go to Arkansas and go duck hunting, but I wasn't feeling real well, so I didn't go duck hunting this year. But I've been quite a hunter in the past, never been real successful in deer hunting, and I don't like sitting in the cold and freezing to death, so I don't do much deer hunting, though I have friends here who bring me deer stuff, so I get to still have it. So, nonetheless, I'm just telling you that man is completely separated from the rest of his creation. Looking at Deuteronomy, it says, "Thou shalt not kill." And if you look up the Hebrew word rakshah, it means murder a human being. Thou shalt not. It's not talking about self-defense. It's not talking about service to your country. David said in one of his Psalms, "Teach my hands to war." And so it's not talking about those. A number of you served in the military service. That's not murder when you're defending your country in a just war. Or if you're a policeman, thankfully Joe didn't have to shoot anybody in his entire time as a policeman before he retired, but it had to be unsettling to him on the first day on the job. I think I have this right where a guy stuck a shotgun right in his chest. but God protected him. Thank the Lord for that. But if a policeman does have to shoot somebody and it's righteous, then that's not murder. But I want to tell you, taking innocent blood by abortion is murder. It says, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Look at this now, verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and here it is, and hands that shed innocent blood. Then he goes on, and heart deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brother. There's no more innocent blood than a helpless, unborn baby. I just look at that and realize what God has to say for us. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does not harm its neighbor. And an unborn baby is the most helpless of our neighbors. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20 and 21. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast bore unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? You know, so many children, since free sex, and it's not free, but so many people have abortions today just because it's inconvenient, or they're not married, or they don't want another kid, or any of that sort of things. And it is just like when they were offering their children to Molech and Chemosh. It says that thou hast slain my children. Why? Children are a heritage. Children are a gift of God. Children are entrusted to us, and we are to raise them carefully and wisely. And the Lord says, thou hast slain my children. For thou hast possessed my reins. This is a real picture, friend. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's amazing, friends. That's amazing. Isaiah 44, verse 2 says this, thus saith the Lord that has made thee and formed thee from the womb. There it is. The Lord, again, fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe that I put it three times in this presentation, but my mind goes right back to it. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You know, it's real interesting when you study in the Scriptures. Remember Elizabeth? Elizabeth in the Bible, she didn't have children, and she was looked down upon because she hadn't had children, and Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's in the sixth month of her pregnancy, and she's amazed. But we can go back and even thinking of that, if you can imagine. I can't imagine it. I'm 74 and Linda's 73, but Sarah's 90 years old and discovers she's pregnant. And when God told her that she's going to be pregnant, she did what? She laughed. She said, "That's a good one, Lord." Audrey, you know. I look at that. But what I'm saying is that it used to be that it was an honor to have children, and when you were barren, you were looked down upon. I am glad for my children. And the older I get, the gladder I am. Already, both of the families, the girls' families particularly, because they're closer, but my son has a running thing if you need something. So many times, my kids, their spouses, my grandkids, they've mowed my grass, they've shoveled my snow, all those type of things. I'm thankful for children. They're a heritage of the Lord. And even though you might get tired of hearing it, I want it drilled in, particularly to all the young people who are here, is life begins at conception. Life begins at conception. When human life begins is not a theory, it is a scientific fact. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, "Behold, I formed thee in the womb. I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was born, while he was still in the womb, he was appointed to what God wanted him to do. I'm just saying, life begins at conception. Hosea chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. "The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had the power of God." Twins. The heel grabber in the womb. Very interesting when you see what's going on inside and its life. One of the most interesting things, as my wife got advanced in pregnancy, sometimes I could see the baby's foot up against my wife's tummy. And I recommend it. I wanted my children to know my voice, and I would sing to my wife's tummy when she had children in the tummy. Would say scripture verses and do those type of things. I believe that hearing and all those type of things. Do you know that you actually have blood? A baby actually has blood at 10 days. Has its own blood at 10 days. Revelation, Exodus 21, 22 through 25. This shows how serious God takes the protection of the unborn. "If a man strive," fight. "If a man strive and hurt a woman with child," she's pregnant, "so that her fruit depart from her," she has a miscarriage, "and yet no mischief follow," the baby's all right, "he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any mischief follow," If the baby dies, if the baby is maimed, if the baby is blind, the baby is deaf. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. I'm just telling you that that lays down the principle of protecting the unborn baby in the uterus of the mother. Luke 1:41. And it came to pass, I already talked about this a little bit, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Remember I told you, 10 days, the baby has his own blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, the animal sacrifice. It says, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls. We should protect the weak and the defenseless. We should protect the weak and the defenseless. Fewer women would have abortions if wombs had windows. Fewer women would have abortions if wombs had windows. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, former abortionist turned pro-life activist. I looked for a womb with a window. It's as close as I've got. But you know, one of the things that has really helped cut down on abortions is ultrasounds. Ultrasounds, because I have seen the ultrasound of my coming new great-granddaughter. Grandson. Okay, that's right. That's right. Owen. I've seen that. I've seen it. And ultrasounds are a powerful pro-life tool. I'm thankful for ultrasounds. When you go to the Alpha Women's Center, if you test positive for pregnancy, there's an organization that gives free ultrasounds. And so they send that mother to the ultrasound so that they can see their baby and have pictures like this picture of the baby there. I'm so thankful for ultrasounds. One of the programs I listen to, Clay and Buck, you can give money helps them. If you give $25, it helps them to be able to do ultrasounds on pregnant moms in an effort to try and cut down on the abortions and that sort of things. But I'm just saying ultrasound is a powerful pro-life tool. I'm so thankful for ultrasounds. Psalm 82:3-4. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. One of the reasons, and there's a number who've stood in the past when we were at abortion clinics and all that sort of things, and one of the things that it motivated me to do was help get started Baptist for Life of Wisconsin. I believe I was their first president, and then push for the Alpha Women's Center. I'm so thankful for that. And as we read this morning, Brian read, there's four more Baptist crisis pregnancy centers. There's four altogether in Wisconsin, not four more. But here's what it says in Proverbs 24:11-12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou say, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? It's very clear when you see our budget that we are a pro-life church. And after I'm long gone, I hope that we're a pro-life church unless the Lord has taken us out of here by the rapture. But that's what we do to try and preserve life. And that's our responsibility. Some people say, oh, well, it's nothing I can worry about. I didn't really know it. God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. So I appreciate everybody who has done the baby bottle boomerang. I had a bunch of people, and so did a whole bunch of other people, sponsor us in the ride for life. And then there's the walk for life. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to preserve life. And I know that you guys are on board with that because we always have a good sponsorship of all those things. You know, they've moved from promoting abortion to infanticide. There's some people believe that you ought to be able to do away with a kid up to 2 months after they're born. The craziness. And constantly they're pushing people, if there's some kind of deformity, constantly they're pushing people to get rid of the children if they have some kind of deformity. I'm thinking of Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13. So Mephibosheth, if I can say the name, dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Many abortions have been done because the preborn baby appears to have some kind of defect or disability. And disabled people have value in the sight of God. Our biggest need in life is to be able to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And it is not physical perception. Physical perfection, I should say. They don't do it anymore because they've closed it down. But some of you have been here long enough. Remember the Shepherd's Bell Choir that used to come here from Shepherd's Home? And now they don't do that anymore. They have a kind of a university to train kids to live on their own and do some kinds of jobs and those type of things. But, God looks at the imperfections. I know the imperfections, and God has His ways in if there is imperfections in children, they should not be a part of being murdered. Verse 31, verse 8 and 9, it says this: open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. You look at how many of the healings Jesus did with people who had deformities. I think it's very, very interesting where, take up your bed and walk. I'm just saying this. All humans have equal value to God. In Genesis 9:6, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Do you realize that capital punishment for murder was the first law that God instituted after they got off the boat? Abortion kills an innocent human being. You know, and what's so interesting about all of this, they're talking about critical race theory and all these type of things. Do you know who started Planned Parenthood? Margaret Sanger. Just do a little bit of research on Margaret Sanger. You know what? She didn't think black people were human, and she definitely thought that they shouldn't have children. And you know what section of the population has the most abortions even today? Black people. Planned Parenthood knew that abortion killed an innocent human being. They knew that. They knew that. From a 1964 Planned Parenthood advertisement promoting birth control. This is right, and I'll show you the pamphlet in a minute. It is birth control. Is birth control an abortion? And here's what the pamphlet said. Definitely not. Now listen to this. This is Planned Parenthood, 1964. An abortion kills the life of a baby after it has begun. It is dangerous to you, your life, and health. It may make you sterile so that when you want a child, you cannot have it. Birth control merely postpones the meaning of life. Unless you don't, you think, that can't be possible. There's the pamphlet right there. There's the pamphlet right there. And the things that I just said are circled there. That is a Planned Parenthood pamphlet. I'm just saying, as believers, we need to choose life. We need to encourage other people to choose life. Please, won't you speak up for those who cannot speak and take part in defending the defenseless, at the same time delivering their moms from a tragic choice? Somebody needs to. Somebody needs to. What if you've had an abortion? We should also be concerned for the mothers who've had an abortion. They have often been told lies about preborn children and been coerced by the men in their lives or by their family members to get an abortion. You know, somebody needs to be told before it happens what her baby's true nature is. That's why I love ultrasound. Or if it has already happened, she needs to know that she can be forgiven. Peace and forgiveness can be found in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. One might also bring up, taking into consideration the nature of the audience, that there is forgiveness for those, but they've realized it now, and so they've asked Jesus Christ into their life and repented of their action. I'm thankful for the ministry of the Alpha Women's Center. The Alpha Women's Center shares truths about the unborn children with pregnant women nearly every time they're open. They also share the gospel, telling women and some men that there is forgiveness in Christ. Pray for Holly Hickey and Sue Hoppe and the workers of the Alpha Women's Center as they do the Lord's work in this important ministry. And this is an older picture. We didn't do it last year, but First Baptist Church stands for life. Do you? Well, if by chance there's somebody here who's suffered the tragedy of abortion, remember, God is merciful. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior And he forgives you all your sins, past, present, and future. There have been women around the state. I used to have contact with one, and when somebody, and there used to be one in the church who had abortion in the past and then got saved, and she was able to share with women who had had abortions how the Lord helped to heal her. There, it's not the unpardonable sin, but by the same token, I want to clearly come across to each and every one of you young people that life is precious. It is the gift of God.